I thoroughly enjoyed this episode with Adiel Gurel. Adiel has been on many different media programs. He's an author of 5 books, an Amazon bestseller, and a longtime real estate investor. And what we really chat about is his story about how he went from the tech world in Silicon Valley, to getting into real estate investing. And I love his practical and long-term approach. He makes it investing very approachable and keeps things simple, which I love. And you have to tune in to hear what he says is the greatest gift that our country, the US, has to offer. And it may surprise you what that is. And really, I love the fact that he's such a big proponent of single family residential real estate investing, long-term buy and hold rental property investing. He's done all kinds of commercial land development, different things, but he is the biggest proponent there is of single family residential rental property investing. And he's could have retired 20 years ago and has hundreds of rental properties himself. But he just loves sharing his knowledge and adding value and changing people's lives through residential real estate investing. His story is definitely inspirational, but it's highly practical. This episode is brings a lot of practical value, and I think you're going to really enjoy it.
From adversity to abundance, hosted by entrepreneur and seasoned real estate investor Jamie Bateman, is the ultimate guide for active and passive investors seeking clarity, mental fitness, and the confidence to make inspired decisions in the world of real estate. With a decade plus of investing experience across various niches and a background as a combat veteran, former army officer, and multi-million-dollar mortgage note company owner, Jamie brings a wealth of knowledge and inspiring stories to each episode. Through weekly episodes featuring insightful interviews with industry leaders and solo explorations of mindset and strategy, listeners will uncover actionable advice and tips to overcome challenges and build lasting financial success. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting, From Adversity to Abundance is your roadmap to turning obstacles into opportunities and achieving financial freedom.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the From Adversity to Abundance podcast. I am your host, Jamie Bateman, and I'm pumped today to have with us Adiel Gurel. Adiel is an author, a real estate investor, a speaker, many other things, and we're going to dive into a lot of that. Adiel, how are you doing today?
Doing well. It's a pleasure to be here, Jamie.
I'm excited for this conversation. This is going to be a unique, I know you have a unique story, and we're going to learn a lot from your story for sure. For the listener who may be unfamiliar with you, who are you and what are you up to today?
Well, I'll tell you about my background very shortly, but I'm a high-tech guy from Silicon Valley who veered off into real estate investments decades ago and chose not to retire, although I could have been retired now for over 20 years. And while I tell you the story, you'll understand why I chose not to retire. But in choosing not to retire, because I have something useful to provide that I don't want to give up on, as you'll all hear in a second, I had to find a balance in my life. So I create music in my home studio. You can see some of my tools over in the background. In fact, I'm training to be on a stage in LA in a few weeks with a live band with some of the music that I created. It's going to be fun. Then I have a health and wellness podcast, but with more than half my time, I help people change their financial future. And that's the reason I didn't retire. It'll become clear in a second. So this is where I am today, having chosen not to be a retiree in the usual sense, but finding the balance between providing what I can provide, which I think is useful, and having my own fun in life.
I love it. It does sound like you've got options for how to spend your time. You've got a lot of control over, because it sounds like 20 years ago you reached, financial freedom where you could have retired, but you're choosing not to because you're choosing to have some fun, but add value at the same time to others. I love that. And I'm not a huge fan of retirement myself. I think, we all need something to have a purpose and a mission and something about serving others is what we need, in my opinion.
Warren Buffett just announced his almost complete retirement last week at the tender age of 94 and a half and a net worth of $160 billion.
That's wild. Yeah, I think he just finally crossed that financial threshold where he felt safe to retire.
Right, 159 billion. I don't feel secure.
Not quite
Maybe
enough.
60 billion, I think I can do it.
That's funny. Awesome. Well, let's jump back into your backstory, Adiel. I mean, specifically before you were at that crossroads where you chose to move from high tech, from tech toward real estate investing. Just paint the picture for us. What was the context of your life at that point in time?
So I come from a classic high-tech background. I was living in Palo Alto, right there in Silicon Valley. I did my graduate studies at the university in electrical engineering and computer science. I taught at the university. Then I got my first job in Silicon Valley. So that was in the 1980s. Yes, of course, I started when I was 1 year old. Yes.
Okay.
But in the 1980s, we didn't have Google, Meta, Amazon. A lot of the companies just that we know now did not even exist yet. We didn't have the web,
Sure.
or stuff like that. So a company that I kind of wanted to work in straight out of the university was Hewlett-Packard Labs in Palo Alto. And I was fortunate to get a job at the labs. I was very excited about it. And two things happened when I got that first job in Silicon Valley. Number one, HP Labs paid me a lot more than Stanford paid me to teach. And it's very much like today when you have a young person in Silicon Valley and they get a job at Google and they say, "Oh my God, look at that salary." So it was that kind of feeling.
Yeah.
And in my research lab at HP Labs, I had some colleagues who were in their 50s and 60s. I was a young man. So, to my simple logic, they should have been very wealthy. Because if you worked there for 30 years and got paid so incredibly well, you
Sure.
should be wealthy. But once I got to know my colleagues socially, I realized they were not particularly wealthy. They did own their own home, a 401k, and that was it. So I told myself, clearly, I need to build, an empire myself to get me to be wealthy when I'm in my 50s and my 60s and beyond. So I grew up in a family of real estate developers. As a child, I didn't care what my family did, I just wanted to play. But I was exposed to the power anyway. And so I said, "Look, I have a great job, good salary, good credit. I'm a young man, single, expenses are very low. I'm going to buy rental homes and build, an empire of rental homes so that when I get to 50, I'll be very strong." So back then in the 1980s, there was an unwritten rule: only buy within 30 minutes drive of where you live when you buy real estate.
Yeah,
So I followed the rule. I was a good boy. I was living in Palo Alto. I was buying in Sunnyvale, in San Jose. This is all in Silicon Valley. After a few properties, I realized I couldn't build an empire in Silicon Valley. Because even in the 1980s, although all the numbers were much lower than they are now,
It's
the
still different.
ratios were the same.
Yeah,
So
gotcha.
the rents were way too low in Silicon Valley relative to what the prices were. It's the same today. The prices are very high. The rents, they don't seem low, but they're very low relative to the prices.
Sure.
It was the same back then. It couldn't sustain. So I said, well, I have to find a place. I'll break the rule of the 30 years, of the 30, 30 miles. Minute.
Yeah, yeah, 30 minute. Yeah. Sure.
I'll do a little research and find a place where the numbers work better.
Yeah.
So of course, I didn't have the web. And Sergey Brin and Larry Page were in kindergarten, I believe. So they couldn't help me a whole lot. But I still had access to my lab at Stanford. And there they had the ARPANET, which was the precursor to the internet. And searching was much more primitive and difficult, but still you could search. So with a little search, I discovered that if I flew about an hour and a half from San Francisco, I would land in a smaller city by the name Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see that I could buy homes in Vegas that cost about a quarter of the Silicon Valley home price. But very surprisingly, the rents were more like one half of the Silicon Valley rents. That was a totally different equation, obviously.
Sure, it's twice as good, right?
It's much better. Right. So I started flying to Vegas every weekend. Well, it took me some time because I always looked younger than my age, and back then I looked like a boy. The people in Vegas had never seen a person buying out of state. So they were sure this crazy boy is going to waste their time. Nobody wanted to deal with me.
Right, right.
So I spent my first couple of months doing what I knew I would have to do anyway, looking for a local property management firm. Because if I was living in California and buying in Nevada,
right,
I would clearly need a local property manager to take care. And so I was interviewing managers. And after a couple of months, I found a management firm that I liked. I was still very nervous because I never had the chance to really test the managers in the field yet.
Sure.
Finally, a local broker took pity on me and said, okay, I'm going to find you homes. And I started buying. Now, I was always very aggressive. And in my first year buying in Vegas, I loved the numbers so much, I bought 22 homes. Now, before you and or your viewer listeners get excited or impressed by that number,
right,
I should tell you that the average home I bought in Las Vegas in the 1980s cost $39,000 for the whole house.
Wow.
Not only that, but back then, Fannie Mae didn't limit the number of loans an individual can have.
Yeah.
And I could easily put only 10% down payment with PMI or private mortgage insurance.
Sure.
To buy the home, which is what I did, because even though I was paid well in my job, my cash reserves were small because I was young.
Sure, so you hadn't worked that long.
Now, buying 22 homes doesn't sound so daunting when you hear those numbers. You
know, right, right.
For somebody who makes a good salary.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm just curious, when you're for the homes you had bought in Silicon Valley, you were self-managing those?
No.
No, you had
I had found a property management firm that I liked.
Yeah.
And finally, I got a chance to use them. I was living in Palo Alto, California. I owned 22 homes in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a local property management firm was taking care of them. And of course, my relationship with the management firm became good because they were happy to manage 22 homes.
Sure, that's quite a bit. Absolutely. I didn't know if you had self-managed at first in California, or you're just saying you never even did you buy rental properties in California or
I did. I bought a few in Silicon Valley before I realized
right.
the numbers were not going to work. But amazingly, even in Silicon Valley, I opted to use a local property management
firm. Got it. Yep.
Because number one, I'm not an expert property manager.
Sure.
Number two, I was very busy at my job in Silicon Valley.
Right.
And so
that makes sense.
To use an analogy, I can clean my house. I'm not guaranteeing I'll do a great job, but I can clean my own home.
Sure.
Do I? I don't. I hire professional cleaners to come.
Right.
I pay them and they do a better job than me, and I have time to be here on the Zoom with you.
Sure, absolutely. Makes a lot of sense. I was just curious because when I got into rentals, I have rentals in a couple of states, and I originally, same thing, much later, it wasn't in the 80s, but I was, hesitant to buy out of state, so I kind of started locally. And I think, as you said, it made a lot more sense in the 80s that you would buy locally because you couldn't search. The internet was not a thing, but I still think even though technology had come a long way and the internet had come a long way in the following decades, there's still kind of maybe a fear for the new real estate investor to invest out of state, right? And
absolutely.
I did self-manage for several years, which, if you, depending on your situation, sometimes I think that makes a lot of sense because then you can learn a lot about managing properties, and then you can do a better job of managing your property manager. But the point I'm trying to get to is that eventually I realized, why am I, I felt so tied down. I felt like I needed to stay in this local area where my rental properties were just in case, because that's, I just needed to be there. But I at this point now I have a property manager. I never go to my rental properties. So I've gotten over that fear, and I have out of state rentals now. I've done out of state rehabs. I think some of it is that it was harder to do in the 80s, but some of it is just an inherent fear that comes along, and wanting to have that control. But I think in a lot of ways it's best almost to keep the properties at a distance so that you're not too involved with them and you're not too, tied to them emotionally. Because after all, it is an investment. So you got 22 properties in that first.
Well, I took the concept of using property management to an extreme, as you'll soon hear.
Right.
Okay. When all my Silicon Valley friends wanted to join me.
Okay.
In what I've been doing for the past 40 years, I took it to the extreme. But I mean, even at the beginning, when I was using property management firms in Las Vegas, I thought about the 30-minute rule, and mm-hmm. I said, okay, let's say I have a home close to me mm-hmm. and it's rented out. By law, I'm not allowed to barge in and, disturb sure. my tenants.
Right.
But is it going to help that the home is 20 minutes away from me? Am
right.
I going to kiss it, goodnight?
Yes.
I can't even do that.
That's so true.
Be barging into the yard of my tenant.
Right. So no, you're right.
It's meaningless. It's totally psychological.
Right, exactly. That's the point I was trying to get to, is because I would drive by my properties that are local and but I would realize there was no point. It's like, okay, there it is. There's the property. I would accomplish nothing by driving by.
You drive by and guess what? Here's the roof.
Yeah.
Here's the wall.
There's the yard.
Here's the tree.
Great.
It kind of looks the same all the time, doesn't it?
Right. So I stopped doing that. And okay, but backing up for a second, I know you said you were exposed to real estate development growing up, but how did you get really the concept of why did you go into single family rentals? What gave you that idea, and the why did you want to move in that direction?
Yes. So here, that's a fantastic question. And here is also the reason why I'm not retired. I discovered something when I started a few decades ago that completely blew my mind. And I've written more than 5 books about it. I was, invited to do a TEDx, mm-hmm. which I'll be happy to share with your viewers.
Yeah, we can put that in the link in the show notes. Yeah.
Yeah, I was on PBS, on a TV special. Every time I speak, I have not recovered from that one piece of information that I learned a few decades ago.
Which is?
Learned that there's one country, a very, very crazy country in the world, which is the only country, to the best of my knowledge, where you can get something which I consider to be the biggest financial gift in the world. The name of that insane country is the United States. What's the name of the crazy gift? The crazy gift has a name that everybody will recognize. The problem is, how many people really think about it as a gift? The name of the gift is, you ready? The 30-year fixed rate loan.
Yes.
Now, people are listening now and saying, what? Everybody knows about it. There's nothing to it. Come on, let's move on.
It's no big deal.
Oh, really? Really? Is that what you're... I think the best way to show how special it is to illustrate what happens when I get invited to speak in other countries. So here I am in Europe, and I tell them, my Americans can get a loan called 30 years fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And they ask me, what does it mean? I say, like the name implies, the payments on the loan, principal and interest, are always fixed. They will never change, no matter what inflation, cost of living, hail, high water, same. And the loan balance, which actually goes down a little bit with your payments all the time, also doesn't keep up. The Europeans treat me very harshly when I say that. They say, with all due respect, you clearly don't know what you're talking about. I can't believe I drove 100 kilometers
to come listen to you.
This is complete nonsense. And we'll prove to you how stupid what you're saying is with logic. Are you ready? I said, I'm ready. Let's go. They say, you have inflation in the US, right? We do. Sometimes it's higher, sometimes it's lower, but it's always there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Correct. 40 years ago, you bought a postage stamp in the US for 4 cents. Today, 72 cents. 40 years ago, you went to the movies in San Francisco for $2. Today, $15. If you go to Whole Foods today and you buy a beautiful organic avocado, it's gonna be $3. You know, we know, everyone knows, in 10 years, it's probably gonna be $5 or $6. Mm-hmm. Inflation. Everything goes up with inflation. And you want to tell us that in the entire US economy, where the cost of tomatoes and avocados and shoes and glasses and rents and houses and everything constantly goes up because inflation makes the dollar weaker and weaker, so you need more dollars to buy more goods. In the midst of all of this, somebody is insane and gives you a loan. That's the only thing in the US economy never to budge, while everything else goes up all the time. If that were true, which it can't, because obviously you're very stupid, that will be the biggest financial gift in the world. Because inflation would become your very best friend, eroding the real value of your loan every month, every year. It's too good to be true. It's not possible. Nobody is going to be stupid enough to give you this. So then I say, look, you want to do a little search? They do a search. They say, oh my God, you really have this craziness. The next question is always the same. If the Americans can get this unbelievable gift, which will change their lives. And by the way, you don't even have to wait for 30 years. In 10 years, 12 years, 14 years, your loan is going to become so small as to be inconsequential. You'll build so much wealth. If the Americans can get this unbelievable gift, why don't the Americans drop everything they do and run out to get as many of these as possible? My answer is always the same. I don't know, but I sure did.
But I sure did, yeah.
I sure did.
Right.
So that the only person in the United States that I've ever been in touch with who got it before I explained it is indeed Warren Buffett. He was in touch with me in 2012. He thought prices of houses were still low because of the, you know, the aftermath of the big recession. Wanted to buy a large number of homes for his company.
Yeah.
He wanted to get 30-year fixed rate loan on every home. Fannie Mae said no, but he gets it. Nobody else does. I speak with geniuses from Silicon Valley. Geniuses. They run the biggest companies. Well, 30 years? Oh, 30? Nobody gets it.
That's funny.
So I don't want to retire because I have a life-changing message that I don't want to take with me and be quiet and people won't have. So let me show you what it looks like. I get a call from one of my investors, a doctor, retired now. He says, remember me, I started investing with you when I was 43. I bought one house to begin with because I was very busy as a doctor and I wanted to see that the property management firms that you guys use, because my investors bought more than 10,000 homes in the past 40 years in 30 markets. We use local property managers who manage 1,000 homes for us, 2,000 homes. So he said, I wanted to make sure the managers really do the job. Sure. So I said, I was happy, it was rented, it became boring. So I bought another one. I understood what you explained about the 30-year fixed rate loan. So I put the minimum down payments that I could, get the biggest loans that I could, because I considered the loan a gift once I understood.
Sure.
I ended up buying, he says, 22 homes. Again, 22 homes is the exact number of homes that I bought.
Right, it's in Vegas.
A happy coincidence.
Yeah.
And again, not particularly difficult, because when he was buying these homes, a few years into the game, I realized that to simplify it even more and to make it more accessible to everyone who does it, I like to buy brand new homes.
Okay.
No fixing, no flipping, no changing, no. Brand new homes under warranty so that the Silicon Valley person can do it, the doctor can do it, the teacher can do it, the truck driver can do it. Nobody has an excuse not to do it. Brand new homes under warranty.
That's what you're doing now, or this was?
That's what I've been doing for nearly 40 years.
Okay. So do you do build to rent or?
No, not at all. Not at all. But let me tell you the story of the doctor.
Yeah.
So he bought brand new homes in good locations. At the time, they were about $150,000 each. He was putting a minimal down payment. For a doctor to buy 22 homes is not that hard. And then he said, I started buying when I was 43. Mm-hmm. When I turned 56, I looked at my 22 homes. And even though I bought them with a small down payment and a very large mortgage, after 13 years, my mortgages were just about one quarter of the value of the homes. That's what inflation does. Mm-hmm. To the only thing in the US economy never to change, while the rents and the homes and the tomatoes and the everything goes up with inflation.
Sure.
So the loans look like a joke. He said, I was unbelievably excited because over 22 homes, I had millions of dollars in equity, millions. But then I took it one step further, he says. I took five of my 22 homes and I sold them. I didn't do anything fancy, no 1031 exchanges, nothing.
Yeah.
Sold five homes, paid my tax, and used the proceeds to pay off the remaining 17 tiny loans.
Interesting.
And now, even though I was a successful specialist as a doctor, 17 free and clear homes, I retired at age, 13 years. So 56.
Right.
Retired at 56. That guy is the same age as me. He's my friend and I'm not retired. He bugs me all the time. Let's go to South America for a month. I'm saying, I'm working, you know.
Right.
He retired.
That's
that funny. Story about this doctor is one story out of many thousands of stories. The magic of the 30-year fixed rate loan, coupled with the unbelievable power of inflation and the tenants paying rents,
sure,
have sent thousands of my investors, thousands, into retirement, great wealth, because I have investors who bought well over 100 homes, sending their kids to Stanford and to Harvard without even feeling that it happened. And this is very serious stuff. So this is also the answer as to why I chose single family homes.
Yeah. Got it.
The 30-year fixed rate loan is only given on 1 to 4 residential units.
Sure.
Primarily, you want to buy in good areas, single family homes.
Yeah.
That's why the single family home.
No, I love it. I mean, I'm a single family home guy myself. I do, like I mentioned, residential rental property investing, but I also do mortgage note investing as well. But it's all in that single family wheelhouse. I've never really gotten into the commercial space. I've been a passive investor in some commercial deals, but so did you ever consider going down the commercial path or not really?
Not only have I considered, I've done it. In my
Okay.
40 something, this is year 41 for me of doing all of this. In my 40 years, I've bought about 25 apartment complexes. I bought land and subdivided it. I bought commercial. Nothing ever stood a chance, against beautiful, brand new single family homes
Interesting.
in good areas. Low down payment, 30-year fixed rate loan.
Yeah.
A local property manager leases
Right.
the home for you, who really cares about you
Right.
because he manages 1,000 homes for my investors and never wants to get an email from me. What's going on with Jamie's home?
Right,
No,
right, right.
nobody wants
Sure.
that.
Yeah.
So they really care about you. They lease up the home becomes boring, and
Yeah.
then your job to do the hardest action for a human being to do. Nothing.
Sit
Let
back and do nothing.
inflation and your tenant build your wealth for
Work
you.
for you.
It's
Sure.
not a short term, it's not a get rich quick, but
Right,
between
right, right.
12 and 14 years, it'll change your future.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really interesting because I'll be honest, as a real estate investor in the single family space, there's always this in the back of my mind, this pressure, you're not doing enough. You're supposed to be leveling up if you become a multifamily syndicator, it's that's where the money is, and you can add zeros by doing the same amount of work, blah blah blah. And so there's this internal dialogue of, oh, you're just a single family, rental property investor. That's not enough. And I think on social media you see all this, all the different asset classes and that kind of thing, and it can put this pressure on you. So it's interesting to hear that from someone who's done so much in many different asset classes to say that single family is where it's at.
Nothing even touches it in the United States because of the 30-year fixed rate loan. You don't get the 30-year fixed rate loan the minute you go to 5 units or
Yeah,
above.
sure.
So, there's a notion that you start at kindergarten buying single family homes. Then you go to first grade buying duplexes and fourplexes. Then you go to third grade, you buy small apartment buildings. Then you go to
Right.
fourth grade. I remained in kindergarten, Jamie.
I love it. All right. So, in a bit, we'll get in more to how investors can work with you. But as far as your story goes, after you bought those 22 homes in Vegas, walk us through. I know we don't have time to cover the whole
No,
story, but
I can do it quickly. I can do
walk
it
us
quickly.
through from there and until
Yeah.
now, as far as some of the highlights.
So during that first year, when I was buying the 22 homes, my Silicon Valley friends were mercilessly ribbing me and making fun of me. What are you doing? Nobody's buying out of state. You're insane. This is going to fail. But after a year, when they saw me with my 20 plus homes, the logic of the engineers started working and they said, you know what? We see what you're doing. We want to do it too. I said, you should go do it. It'll change your life. They said, are you kidding? We work in Silicon Valley. We have no time to go to the bathroom.
Right.
You're already there with your managers and your realtors and your homes. How about you lead us? I said, okay. So I led a group of 20 engineers and we bought about 250 homes over something like 3.5 years, not as a group. She bought 6 homes for herself. He bought 4 homes for himself. I bought a few more, and I made a very trivial discovery that even the very cautious engineer who bought just one little home as a test enjoyed the clout, the power of 250 homes because the service providers knew if he wasn't happy, he would complain to me. And now I'm not happy with them, and every other manager in Vegas was in touch with me all the time. Come to us. We are better, we are cheaper, we are nicer, we are taller, we are prettier. Who doesn't want to mention 250 homes, plus the many dozens we may still buy in the future? Same today. My investors, as I said, bought more than 10,000 homes in over 30 markets. We have markets where the managers manage 1,000, 2,000 homes for us. They really care. So even when somebody comes in and buys one home, they know we've given them the power of 2,000 homes in a way.
Interesting. So you started not buying as a group, but kind of pooling, not capital, but that purchasing power that I guess street cred and
street cred, really, that they've gotten so much.
Yeah.
Let's say one of our markets now, where we bought like 2,200 homes. Somebody comes in, we help them, we hold their hand. I strive to make it super simple because most people are busy.
Sure.
So they buy a home. Now they have one brand new home. But the property manager is managing 2,200 homes.
Right,
he cares about them.
Sure, makes sense. So, and then you did that with a group of people, and then walk us through, you know, how did your own investing journey, how did things play out over the years for you?
So I kept buying all the time. And to this day, I'm the biggest investor among all of my thousands of investors.
Okay.
So, and I have people who bought well over 100 homes. I'm still the biggest investor.
Nice.
And I kept on buying, I kept on investing. Obviously, I've been doing it for 40 years, so many of my homes don't have mortgages anymore. Mm-hmm. Some of them do because I refinanced. You know, I never paid attention to what the interest rates were at the time that I was buying. In fact, the 22 homes in Vegas in the mid-1980s, the interest rates were 14% in the marketplace.
Wow.
14. Every one of these homes started out with a negative cash flow because I put a small down payment. I didn't care.
Okay.
I knew that even at 14%, these are fixed loans, but the rents are not fixed. And inflation, of course, was high at 14%. So that's exactly what happened. Within a year or two,
rents went up.
It got break even.
Yeah.
Then when the rates went down to 12, I refinanced everything down to 12. Everything became positive. Then came the unforgettable day. The media was screaming, single digit rates. I refinanced everything to 9.95. Everything became super positive. I never care about the rates. That's why it's so funny now when the rates are close to 7.
Yeah.
And everybody, oh my God, the rates are at 7.
Out. Right.
Really? That's what's bugging you?
Right.
Unbelievable. But you know, the media is not aware of that. Doesn't matter. The media says, sit on the sidelines until the rates go back down again.
Right.
Well, that's something that may or may not happen in the future. We don't know the future.
Right.
But if the rates do go down, let's say they go down to 4, I'm just making up a score. Guess what's going to happen? The media is going to pump everybody to buy. Demand's going to be enormous. Prices are going to zoom up. Mm. The competition's going to hit.
Yeah.
It's great to buy today.
Yeah.
The media caused millions of people to sit on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Demand is low. The sellers are giving incentives. And ironically, actually buying your rates down to entice you.
Oh, right. Yeah, I have seen that.
It's great to buy today. Then in the future, if the rates go down,
refinance. There's always a reason or several reasons not to get in now, right? There's always some issue or something that holds people back, right? It's never a perfect time to get in. So real estate is very forgiving in the long term. So like you said, initially several of your properties were not cash flowing, but soon after they were. And then looking back 30, 40 years, does it really matter that they weren't cash flowing?
When I look at this as a 12 to 14 year investment, I don't expect the houses to feed me my food in year one, year two, year three.
Right.
That's where my salary, my job, my income feeds me.
Sure.
But give it to year 4, 5, 6, 7, it gets positive and positive. And then between 12 and 14 years into the future, life is changed, completely
changed. So, you know, maybe you can compare and contrast from what was your financial picture, you know, when you started working in Silicon Valley and then versus now? And you can obviously be as specific as you'd like.
Well, you know, when I started working in Silicon Valley, I was making a good salary.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't feel like I wanted for financial. But of course, today, with a very large number of homes, many of which are free and clear, it's a very different place to be.
Right.
Not only that, I work with Silicon Valley people, and the salary could be high, but your taxes, these people pay some of the highest tax in existence.
Right.
And Silicon Valley is in the state of California, so that's an even higher tax.
True.
When you derive your income from real estate, the tax structure looks different.
Sure, absolutely.
You may be carrying forward a lot of losses from the past. You may be, so not only do you earn more, you pay less taxes legally and rightfully with the tax law.
Absolutely. So it sounds like you're in a pretty, pretty drastically different financial situation than you were 40 years ago.
Yeah, but again, it's not like I was in a bad place. To be fair, it's not a rags to riches type.
Sure. Right. Understood. But I love the long-term approach. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme or something like that. So you're not finding any trouble or having any trouble finding deals that work these days?
These days are an amazing time because, once again, the media, many of the people who write in the media are very young. So their universe is very short.
Sure, right.
They remember the super low rates from the COVID era, 2.5%, 3%. So they think 6.75% is the end of the universe. Historically, these are still very low rates.
Sure. I remember I worked at a title company and for a mortgage broker the early 2000s for a few years. And even then, it was like once rates got below 6%, it was, I mean, it was crazy low. People couldn't believe how low that was, you know? So, and then we're never going to see below 5%, you know? And then obviously we did. And so, yeah, we've been spoiled in a sense to believe that a 2.5% mortgage is normal.
There were two decades of my investment career that if you told me you would give me a loan at 7.5, I would be dancing in the street for joy.
That's amazing. So,
but anyway, today is one of the best times to go in because the media has so much power now. The media is not only the TV and the newspaper like it used to be. Now it's the TikToks and the Facebooks and the this and the Instagrams. So it reaches millions of people telling them don't do anything, don't do, and they don't. So as I said before, demand is low, supply is pretty good. It's an amazing time to be a buyer. So this is a great time to buy.
Right. Now, would you consider the investors that you work with, would you consider them to be passive or active investors?
As close to passive as is humanly possible. Most of my investors have jobs, either in Silicon Valley or doctors or lawyers or teachers or nurses, or they have no time to spare on these homes. And luckily they don't need to, because there is a full-time local property management firm taking care of a brand new home.
Yeah.
I make it as simple and, I mean, the least amount of work. I mean, as passive as you can be.
Got it. And what do you think holds people back as far as getting involved with real estate investing?
You know, you can get into the psychology of things, fear of success, fear of failure. I don't deserve this. I mean, I think the way to do it is because I like to buy in markets in the country that are affordable. Start with one home.
Yeah.
Sometimes people call me and say, oh, I have enough money to buy 10 homes. Say, how about you buy one? Buy one. And then you let it rent, you let it lease, you see how it goes. Psychologically, when you buy home number two, it's just a repetition of the same process. Buying home number four is already boring. So start with one, start small. We like to buy in the Sunbelt states where we buy homes, even now, brand new homes from the low 200s, all the way up to the mid 300s. Very affordable relative to the expensive markets in the country. Small down payments relatively. So it's affordable to most people with a job.
Sure. Now, how are you getting around the, if someone wants to buy 10, 15 homes, as far as the max number of loans they can have?
Fannie Mae loans. Fannie Mae limits the number of loans for an individual to 10. If you're a married couple and each of you works in a job and can qualify separately, Fannie Mae enables you to buy the homes in both your names,
yeah,
you know, husband and wife, but sure, to put only one of your names on the loan, that makes the 10 become 20.
But got it.
I have people who buy 60 and 100. Beyond the Fannie Mae limit,
yeah,
you have the non-Fannie Mae loans. And there are plenty of lenders who will give you good 30-year fixed rate loans,
yeah,
simply not within the Fannie Mae umbrella.
Got it. Understood. All right, I've got some rapid fire questions. Ariel, are you ready?
Ready.
This one sometimes trips people up a little bit. What do people misunderstand about you?
People sometimes are skeptical that I chose not to retire because I feel like I have something that is changing lives. They think there must be an ulterior motive. Mm-hmm. But really, I mean, I'm doing all the things I love in life, including travel, but I still let people know about the miracle called the 30-year fixed rate loan right in their backyard.
Got it. What's one of your biggest failures and what did you learn from that experience?
I always look back and say, I should have bought more. All of my investors do. When that doctor told me the success story with his 22 homes, he finishes by saying, I should have bought more. I say the same, even on hundreds of homes. And I regret the homes I let go of too, you know, early in the game. I think the best strategy is to buy and hold.
Yeah, got it. If you could go back and give your 18-year-old self some advice, what would that be?
Start methodically, start slowly. Don't feel that you have to wait to be perfect. Don't let perfection be, you know, the enemy of good.
Mm-hmm. Got it. That's really good. If you could have coffee or a drink with any historical figure, whom would you choose?
Well, because of my connection with Warren Buffett and because he's not young anymore, he would be my choice.
Okay. He may have a little more time on his hands now to be able to do that. Wow. If you were given $10 million tomorrow with no strings attached, what would you do with it?
I would go the same route that I described. Even Warren Buffett, when he talked to me in 2012, he was already a very, very wealthy man. Mm-hmm. Berkshire.
Yeah.
Billion. He wanted to buy a large number of homes with a down payment. I would do the same thing. Buy brand new single family homes with a down payment and get 30-year fixed rate loan. Whether you give me $10 million or $100 million.
Got it. And speaking of Warren Buffett, I think he eats the same breakfast every day, but from McDonald's, I believe. But if you had to eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would that be?
It would be a healthy meal, some protein, some, I mean, probably some veggies. I'm not a vegan, so just a healthy meal with protein.
Got it.
You know, nothing really special. I'm not picky.
Right. Speaking of healthy, I see your kettlebells in the background there. You said you have a health and fitness podcast. What is that all about?
I have
about?
A health and wellness podcast. And
got it.
The name, I can't say it's a very creative name. It's called The Ariel Gorel Show.
Nice.
And you can find it everywhere.
Got it. As far as your work goes, what is a challenge that you're facing in your business right now?
The challenge is I see people who are absolutely primed to change their future, but the media managed to scare them into doing nothing and waiting and holding. Mm-hmm. I already know when I meet them 10 or 15 years into the future, they lament not having done anything.
Got it. In your field of expertise, what is something that almost no one agrees with you about? Do you have any controversial views?
Before people hear me explain it, nobody agrees with me that the 30-year loans is the most magical gift in the world.
Right. Got it. How do you define mental fitness in the context of real estate investing?
Not being scared to start, taking it one step at a time, building the expertise, resilience, realizing you can be quite passive and do it in the background, and never really letting the media dictate what you think or do.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Looking forward, what are some emerging challenges you think real estate investors should be preparing for now?
Well, again, it's very hard to know the next couple of years. The economy is a little bit unstable right now.
Yeah.
But what we are talking about, single family homes, people need a place to live. It's not sure. going to go away. There is a big shortage of those in the country.
Right.
So the challenges in this particular sectors are actually limited.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What is a book or two that you could recommend for our listener?
I hate to sound like that, but one of my own books called Remote Control, Retirement Riches, which is also the name of my PBS show that I did, I think would make a very good reference book. And then, you know, any other book about single family homes that is simple.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people love to complicate.
Yeah, it's true.
I think simplifying is really the key.
Sure. Makes a lot of sense. What is one question, Ariel, that I have not asked you that you wish I had?
Now you stumped me there.
Nice.
So many good questions. I can't think of one.
So I'll ask, who do you think should not get into single family rental property investing?
Okay. So in order to get these magical loans, the lenders expect you to have a job. So if you don't have a job,
mm-hmm.
you might want to wait until you have some income,
yeah.
or maybe a partner or a spouse with an income where you can buy.
Yeah.
One of the things that scares me very much is when I talk to somebody who has a good job,
yeah.
and they listen to me and say, oh, I'm so excited. I hate my job. I'm going to quit it and I'm going to buy houses. I say, no. I love your job. I like your job more than you like your job.
That's funny.
Your job is necessary to get these loans.
Yeah, that's really good. I'm glad I asked that question, because that's, we do talk about that topic on this show quite a bit, is, you know, because we have people who go between passive and active real estate investing, and maybe they've been a passive investor for a while, and then they want to get more active and they want to quit their job. So any other advice you can add to that as far as when is the right time to quit your job? Should you ever quit
as
your
I
job?
As I said, because of the magic of the 30-year fixed rate loan, and from vast experience of decades of doing this over many thousands of people and homes, it's between 12 and 14 years that the homes will have such little loans and so much equity so as to change your future completely. So think about it as a 12 to 14 year term.
Mm.
And then you may never have to work again, depending on how many homes you bought.
Got it. That's a great answer. Fantastic. Well, this has been really good. It's been both inspirational and practical for sure. You've added a lot of value. If someone wants to reach out to you to invest with you or just learn more, how can they do that?
Well, I have a lot of articles that I wrote for magazines, the TEDx talk. I'll be happy to share it with anyone. Just send us an email to, info@icgre.com. We have a big event once a quarter. Used to be live, where I bring in all our markets. They show us their properties, talk about them. Expert speakers, I take lots of questions. We moved to Zoom during COVID, so now it's by Zoom,
mm-hmm.
and it's only four hours long. Our next event is on Saturday, May the 17th, 2025. It's coming right up.
Mm-hmm.
You can register for free on our website, icgre.com,
Perfect.
Under events, and you're welcome to join us. I think you'll get a lot of information. Because I chose not to retire, would be very happy to talk to you, the listener, the viewer, mm-hmm. to you, mm-hmm. Jamie, one-on-one. I enjoy it because I feel like I'm changing your life.
Yeah.
So all you need to do is get in touch with us, info@icgre.com, or go to our website, icgre.com, and set up a meeting with me, and I'll talk to you, I'll share with you, I'll guide you. And once again, my motto is make it simple.
I love it. Like I said, so many, just, I don't know, simple, like you said, but timeless, pieces of knowledge that you've dropped today. This has been very good. You're definitely changing people's lives for the better. And I really like your practical and long-term approach to things for sure. And big picture approach. So Adiel Gorel, thank you so much for spending your time with us today.
Thank you, Jamie. It's been a pleasure.
And to the listener, thank you for spending your most valuable resource with us. And that is your time. Thanks, everyone. Take care.
Thank you for joining us on From Adversity to Abundance. We hope today's episode has equipped you with valuable insights and practical advice to elevate your real estate journey. For more inspiring stories and resources, visit us at www.adversitytoabundance.com. If this episode has inspired you, please share it with a friend who could also benefit from our conversation. Together, let's turn adversity into abundance. Until next time, keep building your mental fitness and your real estate empire.
Hey everyone, this is Jamie Bateman. Real quickly, I wanted to share with you something that's been pivotal in the growth and success of my businesses, and that is my partnership with Haven Financial Services. I've been working with Haven for over a year now. Christine Valdez was on episode 70 of this podcast, so go check that out if you want to hear her story. It was a fantastic personal story for sure, but Haven has been awesome. They provide me with monthly reports that are super clear and discernible, and that provides me with clarity and focus so that I can do what I do best, which is running my businesses, not preparing financial reports. Again, if you're in the market for a top-notch financial service company, or if you just want to check one out, go to www.jamiebateman/haven and check out Haven Financial Services. Again, that's jamiebateman/haven. Can't recommend them enough. Christine and her team have been fantastic. So I definitely recommend you check out Haven Financial Services at www.jamiebateman/haven. Let's get back to the show.